Well, my guest at this time is Sandra Orchard. I've known Sandra for a few years. We met at a writer's conference, and I wanted to have a chat with her. So, Sandra, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ron.
I'm wondering, at what point does someone consider themselves to be a writer? What about you? How would you answer that question?
Well, at 12, I had high hopes of being one. But I didn't start writing fiction until about 10 years ago. And I had heard a lot of stories of people saying, oh, I'm writing, and then being harassed of, oh, so when's your book coming out? So I didn't tell anybody except my closest family found out a little bit. So I was a closet writer for about 5 years. And when I won the Daphne du Maurier Award, my pastor decided to announce it so that it became public knowledge, and the so when is your book coming out started happening. Thankfully, I landed a contract the next year.
Mm-hmm. What do you find most rewarding about writing? You obviously have been doing it for a long time, and even before you were being published, you were writing. What's writing do for you?
Well, now that I'm published, interacting with readers is by far the most rewarding. I love hearing from readers, hearing what touched them in the story, things I would never even think of, and things that made them think, what made them laugh, which characters they'd like to know more about. And I probably have a little bit of a sadistic streak because I love to hear that I kept them up reading into the wee hours of the morning.
Good for you. That's great. Speaking of writing, you've intimated that you were writing fiction. What specific genre are you working in?
I write inspirational romantic suspense and mysteries. And I describe them as fast-paced, keep-you-guessing stories with a generous dash of sweet romance.
Wow, I'm impressed.
But read that from my website.
Oh, okay. As a writer of fiction, especially romantic fiction, do you find that Christians sometimes raise their eyebrows a little bit at your field of endeavor?
Well, since I write both mysteries and romantic suspense, I probably don't get as many raised eyebrows as my fellow authors who write straight romance. But yes, when people hear that I write for a Harlequin imprint, if they're not familiar with it, they tend to raise eyebrows because they have this misperception about what all Harlequin books are like. But once I explain that The Love Inspired is a Christian imprint, it's actually more conservative guidelines than almost every other Christian publisher out there, because they did want to get away from that misperception. Mm-hmm. So the eyebrows go down. The love-inspired line, the faith elements totally woven through the plot and the romance is through emotional tenderness rather than physical desire and no strong language, no bedroom scenes, no graphic violence. I get a lot of letters from not necessarily believers who have just picked up the books in the Walmart, and they just appreciate that it's a clean read, you know, without the language and the bedroom scenes, that sort of thing.
Good. Now, I've met people who say they only read the Bible, or the Bible and theological works, or the Bible, theological works, and nonfiction, because somehow they look down on fiction as being not true. How would you explain that fiction can convey truth, even though the plot and the characters are not directly based on specific incidents and people?
Well, from my own experience, I personally find that I learn a lot through fiction. So for me, the power of fiction is that it reinforces those Christian values. It models them by creating a story world that I can relate to. Even if it's beyond my realm of experience, it draws me in with common emotions or themes that I can relate to. And most people have had stories read to them, if not as an adult, as children. So my best example would be to draw from that childhood experience. Few children who read or listened to their teacher or parent read them say Charlotte's Web. They walked away with a better appreciation of the importance of friends, friends you can count on, than any lecture or nonfiction book a parent could have given them. So it's the power of being drawn into that story. So for me, seeing how characters work through faith-challenging situations in Christian fiction, that gives me more insight than many nonfiction books, because I'm walking in the character's shoes. I feel what they feel. I think it's the element of emotion, seeing the truth modeled in the situations that I can relate to and how they work through it, that it increases its impact for me and my ability to remember it. Like Jesus used parables, we remember those lessons very well because of the story that surrounds them.
Are there any other benefits of fiction besides conveying truth through imagination, do you think? Or?
Oh, so many. I learn about historical time periods, interesting occupations, geographical areas that you may never visit. And one thing that's been really interesting for me is gaining a deeper understanding of the challenges people in various walks of life or situations face, that so I can relate to them better, such as, you know, someone grieving a loss or living with a disability or losing a job or just having an alcoholic parent or growing up in poverty. And probably the most important for readers of Christian romance, since we talked about romance, is that the readers gain insight into what a healthy family and relationship looks like, because you don't see that a lot. They see what it means to dress modestly. My college-age daughter, for example, she has had, because she had a mom who wrote romance, right? So she shared it. She has had a number of young women tell her that they have no idea what a healthy relationship looks like.
Yeah.
They've admitted to her that they've never been in one. They haven't seen one modeled in their own family, and it's certainly not on TV or the books that they've read. And I'm seeing this, it's a bigger and bigger reality even within our churches. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these kind of readers, whether they're teens looking at first relationships or older women, you know, they're going to be challenged and hopefully inspired by the choices they see the characters in the Christian fiction make.
Mm-hmm. Well, so many media depictions of relationships are driven by the dysfunction in the relationship. That's what the story's
exactly.
about.
Yes.
So you're able to provide a healthy model for people to look at and say, I'd like my relationship to be like that.
Yes, and often we bring them from a place of dysfunction because they have to overcome some trial in their life. But you want to model how ideally we do it, grappling with our faith and God's work in our lives.
Yeah, that's great. Our time has come to an end, I'm afraid, Sandra. But before you go, can you tell people how to find your writing and more about your approach to it? Do you have a website or something?
Yes, my website, sandraorchard.com, and readers can learn more about my books there. And I also put on bonus features for each book. So they might be things like deleted scenes or location picks, kind of like the bonus features on the end of a DVD.
We have a global audience, international listeners all over the place. Are any of these available as ebooks?
Absolutely. All of them are available as ebooks. Amazon would be the most well-known. Bookdepository.com, which mails books worldwide for free shipping. So I like that when I'm mailing to international readers, they ship the paperbacks for free.
Wow. So they can either download an electronic copy or have a paper copy shipped to them.
That's right. Yeah.
Super. Well, thanks so much, Sandra. I've enjoyed the chat, and all the best with your ongoing ministry of writing.
Thank you very much for having me, Ron. It's been a pleasure.